Welcome to By Measure. I'm Billy Howard. On this episode, I talk with Matthew Shelton, a prolific songwriter who performs on guitar and umbira. Matthew performs as a solo artist and also with his chamber folk ensemble, The Picnic. Matthew's other band, Me or the Moon, has a new vinyl record coming out in the summer of 2014. In addition to his music, Matthew is a visual artist who creates elaborately detailed light boxes as well as pen and ink illustrations.
Wide open spaces and plenty of them. 6 billion faces, and I only love one of them, Jeanette. If I look less than a million, please don't say, 'cause I feel that way, fool that way. It's the way that I feel, is this guy for real? I'll turn down offers I'm not sure exist. Never once wonder about what I've missed, Jeanette. It's worth afraid when I'm done. All that's left will be dirt. Would that be so bad? Earth fertile every day. I grow a little more senile. Anyway, I can say I'm another mile closer to Jeanette. Genius. To the earth crust, down in the dirt there's a magnet. You don't know, wherever you go, your magnet is sure to follow. Whoever said a boy can't fly south for the winter or swim upstream to meet his queen, Jeanette. Genius. I create and a funny liberation in the ass I make of myself. But it was felt, so wave to your magnet and say go to hell. I keep the charge set to positive. After all, my life goal always was to give it all to Jeanette. Genius. Jeanette, 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 Jeanette. Missing puzzle piece that I haven't found yet. I'm coming for you and I'm bringing my magnet. Jeanette.
By Measure. This is Matthew Shelton.
Hi.
Both your music and art seem to be inspired by many different world cultures, images, and sounds. And I was wondering what initially brought you to those sounds, since you grew up in South Carolina in what I imagine to be kind of a rural setting. How were you able to pick up on these outside influences?
That didn't really start happening until I was living in Cincinnati, probably. I'd grown up listening to folk music and pop, lots of pop music and rock and rap early on. And it wasn't until a friend of mine brought a gamelan CD from, he was living in San Francisco and he'd been taking classes and that stuff. And I heard that, and it was really the first time I'd ever taken like world music at all seriously or heard anything that meant much to me. And from there, I started playing this tiny thumb piano that my mom had bought me years before, and realized at some point, like, there must be people that actually know how to play this thing. So I started listening and looking for real umbira music, and yeah, as far as it becoming an influence or anything, I did consciously try to learn traditional umbira and I've got a few songs down, and just kind of unconsciously started to influence the way I played guitar.
Is that, did you ever take a lesson or like look up a tutorial or anything? Well, I suppose you probably started MBRA before the YouTube phenomenon.
I started researching it on the internet. That was one of the first things I ever did on the internet, actually. Mm-hmm. And that helped. It was cool, probably. I never thought of that. But.
So what did your earlier music sound like, or art that you made look like?
Music was pretty simple, and I was inspired, but I don't know that I was very good. I was learning music completely backwards.
How so? How backwards?
I took guitar lessons in high school, and the guy was really good. He was great. So I learned the scales and all the chords, you know, the major ones that everybody uses, and, you know, went through Beatles books and Bob Dylan songs and played that stuff just for myself. And then during one of our lessons, he showed me a four track that he had, and that was pretty much the end. Like, I just didn't care about anything but recording and overdubbing for a long, long time.
Interesting. So do you have those old recordings still?
That giant box over there.
Oh, great. Do you ever revisit songs that you wrote like decades ago?
I do.
Anything still hold up?
Yeah, the lines and things. And sometimes I'll just, like, there'll be the first line of an old song will be sort of a jumping off point for a whole new song.
That's really interesting. I wish I had some of my old recordings, now that I think about it. Yeah,
I can't get rid of them. I have thrown a few out, like, listen to it and realize, like, all these are just bad mixes of songs. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I did like 3 or 4 cassette albums back then that I worked really hard on, and there's moments.
Yeah.
But it's just a guy, like, I started playing in an open tuning on guitar, so very little that I'd learned on guitar translated, because I didn't understand theory and what I was doing, so.
Yeah.
And then when I got into thumb pianos, any kind of formal technique really went out the window. So, years of approaching music that way.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the MBRA? And you said your mom got you your first one. Mm-hmm. How did you go about researching or finding other musicians? Or different instruments, because you have so many.
You asked that before, and I missed over that. The MBRA, the one that...
The little one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's from Zimbabwe, and I had moved to Portland in early 2000, and there was a woman from Berkeley, and she still does this. She gives workshops all over the country, and does an exchange thing where she goes to Zimbabwe and just does this really great work and brings all this music back. And she sold me that, and I stayed for a 3-day workshop outside of Seattle, and learned a song, both parts of the song. It goes back, its origins are in Zimbabwe. At least 1,000 years old, they've found artifacts and things. And it's a deceptively simple kind of traditional music, but when you get into it, it's all universe in there.
How is it to write music, or how is it different to write music on the MBRA? It seems like it's very pattern-based, it seems like it would lend itself towards different chord structures or different themes or even rhythms than, say, like if you were playing piano or guitar.
Right. I guess for 6 or 7 years of playing Imbira. I was just buying small ones. And at one point I had 30.
Wow.
Of, you know, little gourds and planks of wood and boxes. And then this, so yeah, writing songs on that, it was very, very odd. And for a live band, it wasn't always real practical because you're having to switch instruments, but we made it work. My band, Me or the Moon.
Is each Imbira different then?
Yeah, and even if it was the same, I had this, so I would tune it differently. And but then the Array Imbira came along, and I didn't. I got rid of about 20 of them at that point because
consolidated to the one, the beautiful.
I sold those to a school teacher in France, so that was cool.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, to know that they wound up there, that's nice. So yeah, this thing came along, and it's not set up like a piano, but it has everything. So in some ways, there were no excuses, and it's really much harder to play. And I've had it for 6 or 7 years now, and I feel like I'm only just starting to like apply. It's getting away from African music in some ways because I'm trying to apply pop structures to what I'm writing and just kind of seeing how it goes.
Do you ever take something you wrote on guitar and then try to translate it?
Yeah.
And that works?
Sometimes. Nora's always saying that the songs sound sadder when they're played on the Imbira.
Oh, interesting.
And I can see she's... It's a weird... It's just such a sound, that instrument. And I have a love-hate relationship with it. Lately, I really, really love it. And I'm, you know, getting to a point where I can perform really reliably and confidently with it. It's real fun to just do that to a room. You know, it's exciting.
Well, speaking of like the tone of the Imbira, you perform solo a lot, but then you also create little chamber ensembles with maybe somewhat unusual instruments, like getting away from guitar, bass, and drums, regular pop or rock band. But you often have like the winds, bassoons, strings.
Yeah, I've been really lucky, and the way that started is a piano player I knew wanted to play with me, and she was so good and just opened up all these possibilities in my head, and she could write music, and I knew I could make up music for whatever, but I couldn't get it across to people. And there just happened to be this bass clarinet player and a bassoonist, Kathleen Maniacci and Laura Sabo in Cincinnati, and they were coming to my shows and just said, you know, we'd love to play something with you. So I didn't seek that out. It found me, and I've had to be real resourceful with my time with music, and I've just been lucky. And
resourceful, like as far as rehearsal time or spending too much time arranging things rather than writing new music?
Yeah, or just, you know, using what's available to you. And I just was lucky enough to have that around. You know, and had violin players and a couple of saxophone players that were really good and sensitive players. And put together these odd things for my guitar songs.
Do you ever write with the intention of having a certain other instrument play with you, or is it usually like your own song, just you solo and then add later?
Usually, yeah, the latter. And that's something I've worked on more. Like if I'm going to have these instruments, they need to be I'd love to just be the singer even, you know.
And less to worry about?
Or even just a different sound or, you know, a song that is that solid. that it could. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, aside from all the music that you do, you also are pretty prolific artists making light boxes and doing drawings and paintings.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your visual art is comparable to your music? Like, do they relate to each other? Or are they,
yeah,
when you're creating, are they totally separate in your mind? Separate outlets?
Yeah, they're, I wish, and I think to get people to sort of be able to digest all that I'm doing, I wish that it could come together. I mean, the best I can do at this point is play music in a room full of my art, but
do you ever, I mean, I like to create my own visuals as well,
mm-hmm,
that go with my music, but then sometimes I might see another artist that I really like their work. Do you ever consider having someone else do, like, album artwork? Or
I do. Most all of my albums are somebody else is doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like too much. And like you're saying, I just know people. Like, I just want them on this.
Yeah,
you
exactly
know, they're part of it somehow.
How do the people that you collaborate with, right, like you regularly, how do they affect your output?
In some ways, I feel like collaboration is always, this sounds terrible, but it kind of slows things down.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just part of the sacrifice, you know, you're, to get a more fleshed out thing, you're going to have to work harder. And I've spent a lot of time working alone over the years. Not always to good effect, I think.
So even if it's collaboration slows down your process,
yeah,
are you generally happy with what happens after?
I am. I'm not a huge critic of...
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well,
there's a certain... I guess I've gotten higher standards over the years. But... anybody that's gonna, I've never had a real bad experience where,
mm-hmm,
somebody just fell apart or something, but I'm just thrilled. And most of the people I've played with, I have no business, like, they know what they're doing. That's, I've really been fortunate with people I've gotten to play with.
That's great. Yeah.
And one band music thing that I want to mention, Me or the Moon, again, that's the best band I've ever been in. Three of them are still in Cincinnati, and we're about to have a record made and play out some more. And I think a couple of Chicago shows would be very much in order.
How do you keep the band together or having such a good collaborative relationship?
It's my friend Victor Strunk and I, we started as a duo, and we've known each other for 20 years at least. And Joe Klug is the organist and keyboards, and Tony Franklin is the drums. And Tony's the greatest musician I've ever played with, and he's a drummer, so that's really,
mm-hmm,
exciting.
Very important.
I think it's just a feeling of, like, we all love that band. There's never been any real pressure to do anything but be good, and I know that we all want to do it, you know. So when we do it, we can, and it's always great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never felt, like, just such a calm confidence on stage. Just there to do a job, and I know we're going to do it well. It's just,
mm-hmm,
great. So we're going to, that's the one I'm putting on vinyl, you know.
Yep. When do you hope the vinyl will be done?
By, I guess, late summer now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is the first vinyl you've put out?
Ever, yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you put out most of your music?
The old-fashioned way, on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And CDs. I've been making CDs. I don't know. I'm kind of at a crossroads with whether to make CDs more, make more CDs. I'm not sure.
Yeah, CDs seem to be on the way out. Like, people either want the download or the vinyl, like, to have something really beautiful in their hands.
Yeah.
Oh, you were just showing me your test artwork for your vinyl?
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Oh, I just want to get my money's worth, so I'm hand-drawing the labels for the record itself. And then we're making the covers by hand, me and Victor. Victor's a great artist as well.
So are you going to make a whole 500 custom?
Yep.
Wow, that's going to be an incredible project.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's this nice cardboard stuff. We're both indebted to Sun Ra, Victor and I, if not for influence on music, just for... just a voice that made sense.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, what is your favorite part about your current setup for your art space, your music space? And what would your dream space look like?
I think I'm in my dream space.
Oh, you're lucky.
I really am. I mean, my dream space, given my resources and my situation, I mean... okay, my dream space would have like three really cool college age kids working for me. I'd have orders coming in and have a waiting list. And there'd be lots of money.
Self-funded.
I mean, as long as I'm dreaming. But I'm not at all, you know, disappointed or spend too much time feeling bad that that's not happening. That's useless, but... yeah, I'd have lots of plants around, a garden, pool.
Ooh, a pool would be great.
Never get any work done.
So you're in kind of an old industrial building, but the room is very, very nicely lit with natural light, nice and open, and it's close to home, I think.
Yeah, five blocks from home.
Is it nice to have a separate space away from
home?
It's
really, really nice. I've had that probably most of my adult life, somehow or another.
One of the previous guests on By Measure asked, what music do you think people would be surprised to know you listen to?
Probably most of the stuff I listen to. I don't spend a lot of time with singer-songwriters generally. You know, once in a while there's, I like seeing that stuff live, and just by default because of what I do, I see a lot of it live. And, but as far as listening to stuff, today I was listening to Nirvana live and the Slits. I don't like a lot of hip-hop, but the stuff I do like, I really, really, really like. Like, nothing... if I find an album that I like, it's one of the only genres where I'll listen to that thing like 8 times in a row. But that doesn't happen often enough. Listen to what... I listen to a lot of podcasts these days and stand-up comedy music when I'm working on art. Can be kind of irritating. I like some pretty difficult stuff when I'm alone. And been listening to a lot of Tom Music, who's a guy here. I go and see him every couple of weeks. He's right up the street. That's another thing about this being the Dream Studio, is that my favorite singer, songwriter, person in the city has a other week gig at the Clipper.
This is the California Clipper in Humboldt Park.
Yeah. So even if I'm like, that guy's songs will be in my head for days, And then they'll finally leave, and it'll be time to see him again.
Mm-hmm. That's a great thing to have access.
Yeah.
What do you think would be a good question to ask the next person that I interview for By Measure?
I was going through my head, and I had all these questions I was hoping you'd ask me.
Oh yeah, give us some.
But I can't think of any now.
Well, what would you ask Tom Music?
Oh Lord. I don't know. I guess, I mean, what you're asking me to say is, what do you want to talk about? And there's so much.
Well, what is something, as a musician, that you wish musicians were asked in interviews that they often aren't?
Where do you get the nerve?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I guess for me and just my particular relationship to music, it was always secondary to art, and so everything I got encouraged to do more. Like my art wasn't very good in my 20s, and people were really getting a kick out of my music. And this was before the Imbira and everything, just writing funny songs and humorously depressing songs. And, so everything I've done musically has just been such a bonus and a surprise. Mm-hmm. Even though I've, as far as accomplishments and career-wise, I'm probably better with my music than I am with my art in some ways. But I take it real seriously as far as creatively goes, but I'm just surprised to have done as much as I have. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's a certain gratitude is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's a question. What are you grateful for?
Yeah, it's a good one. Well, where you get the nerve, I think, is good too.
Yeah, that's better.
They're both good. I'll use them both. Well, where can people find your music online or in stores or anything like that?
FlexYourLoveMuscles.com is my website. I don't know if any... There's a... if you're in Cincinnati, Rock, Paper, Scissors on Main Street. They have some CDs. I'm not real good with business and promotion and stuff. Like, I'm good with drawing flyers. I like flyers for promotion. Mm-hmm. And I guess anybody with any sense would tell you that's the most labor-intensive and least useful way to go about it. But I'm old-fashioned that way.
But then you have a beautiful archive.
I do.
Images, yeah.
Considering putting together some sort of flyer package.
Yeah, retrospective.
It can't just be Bandcamp downloads. Mm-hmm. As much as I like that being available to people, I'm working on a book of lyrics right now. After we went to France, I realized that I could have gotten rid of 100 lyric books there probably. I never even thought about it. But so the songs that I have that I don't feel bad or embarrassed at the thought of somebody reading it rather than hearing it, I'm doing it with brush and ink.
Ooh, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah. I wanted it to look personal and everything. I had no idea what brush and ink would actually involve. Like, it's taking much longer than I thought. But I couldn't just type it up, so.
Well, thank you for being on By Measure today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This beautiful child, whose charm
by my bald spots, expects me to be everything she is not. Just jokes that have as much to do with me as the moon. I'm the ocean, you're the shore, surrounding forever but not saying more. All rivers flow into me, every drop makes me grow. But you, seashells and sand are all I can know. In X3 ex-boyfriends were born in three different countries. They'll all use the same line, but their accents are funky. But hell, I can't judge. I worship and lead by mistake. Rather mistake for love than accept that it's fake. There's nothing bigger than the ocean, but somehow I don't feel important. It's not 'cause you laugh or blow smoke at me. I'm counting on you to annoy me. I love you so much, and I'm shit out of luck. Progress you make beyond the hills I can see. The best chance I could take is patiently erode your beach. I'm more ornery and bigger and as dirty as I've ever been. Some windy night you'll have to let me in. There's nothing bigger than the ocean, but somehow I don't feel important. It's not 'cause you lie or dump trash in me. I'm counting on you to destroy me. I love you so much, and I feel so stuck.
To see photos of Matthew's workspace, visit bymeasure.blogspot.com.